Can you feel the harmony in here and the peace and this coherent energetic field that we are creating together? Because it's real. It's real and it's powerful. Isn't that exciting? Yes. Good morning. We've been talking about the power of group intention over the past few weeks, and specifically when it comes to Lynn McTaggart's book, The Power of Eight, Harnessing the Miraculous Energies of a Small Group to Heal Others, Your Life, and the World. And many of us have been doing this intention work with our spirit groups. So this book is about using intention to help to, as the title suggests, heal others, heal our own lives, and heal the planet, heal the world. And we're going to look at all these elements this morning. My talk title is The Mirror Effect. And isn't this a great time for our children to be making a difference in the world? Have you noticed? Yes. Have you noticed? Yes. I'll tell you, the YOU sponsor in me is just so excited. So we began this whole series talking about miracles. If you remember, way back in the fall, Webster defines miracle as, it's coming, an event or action that apparently contradicts known scientific laws, and the operative words being apparently and known. And what we're finding is that group intention work can help to reveal what is not apparent, reveal what is not known yet. And that's the exciting part about this. And as we've shared in the past, Lynn McTaggart is an investigative journalist and has done extensive research on intention, what it is, how it works, and the many groups that have worked with her in conducting scientific experimentation have had some pretty miraculous results, from changing biophoton emissions of a leaf to raising the pH level of water, to easing the effects of PTSD with military vet, to countless examples of healings that have happened. And these are examples of the harnessing the energy to heal others part of the title of her book. But she didn't stop there. As a journalist, Lynn liked to ask questions, lots of questions. And with all of the transformation that was going on with this intention work, one question she was curious about was, what is the mathematical equation for a miracle? It's a pretty cool question, wouldn't you say? And by asking that question, she eventually realized the power of groups of eight in small groups. But in researching this question, she looked to global peace work being done through intention. This is the healing of the world part of the title. And to see what she could find, she started studying all the research of groups that have gotten together in some way to do healing work on peace in the world. And one possible answer that came forth was 1% of the population practicing meditation. 1%. And this came from studies that were carried out where the crime rate was lowered in a city when that percentage of the population engaged in meditation. Now, this country has about 320 million people. When you look at 1%, we only need about 3 million of us joining together in meditation. There are about 100,000 of us in the New Thought movement in North America. It's a start. But as it turns out, the number shrinks to the square root of 1% of the population when that group is doing specific meditation aimed at peace. And again, this comes from that the work that was done in the past. And so when we look at the square root of 1% of the population, now we're talking 1,700 people. That seems a little more doable, doesn't it? We're getting in the ballpark here. And so Lynn decided to replicate that kind of peace work. And she held a worldwide intention experiment with the goal to lower the violence in two specific provinces of Afghanistan. Using the 10-year anniversary of 9/11 as a focal point to create peace. And she invited people from East and West to join together on September 11th, 2011. And she began the time together by having someone from the East apologize to those in the West for not finding out about the 9/11 attacks and stopping them. Then Lynn apologized to those in the East for attacking Afghanistan as a result. And so they began this time together with a heart connection, and that's important for us to notice, that this is how it began, with all of them getting into their heart and being together in that way. And then everyone who was part of this intention group joined together for a 10-minute intention for peace for those two specific provinces. Now, it was difficult for Lynn to get casualty statistics from the U.S. military. Turns out they're not too anxious to give that stuff out. In fact, they wondered what she was up to. She had to do some work around that. But she finally found an organization that had been documenting all of the civilian casualties over the 10 years. And through them, she found that in the 3 months following the intention, casualties dropped by 37%. Attacks with explosive devices fell by 19%, and overall, the violence was 16% lower than it had been in previous years, all in the two provinces that they were focused on. That same downward trend did not show up in the rest of the country. In fact, in comparison to the rest, the two provinces, whoops. You can, please do. Talk amongst yourselves. Okay, topic. Okay, it's coming. All right, where am I? In comparison to the rest, the two provinces showed an 800% decrease over the months previous. So why was it so successful to have people from all over the world join together and hold the same intention? Well, her research shows we have miraculous power that is ready to be unleashed. Do you know that about yourself? Yes. Human minds have a great capacity to operate non-locally and can make an invisible connection. And this connection creates an ability to work collectively and have a powerful effect. If you recall, she calls it something like a psychic internet. Go back. All right. A psychic internet. And it's through the heart that that happens. We begin here. You know, in ministerial school, our prayer teacher gave us this tiny little assignment. We had to prove the power of prayer. This was a teacher who gave lots of homework, by the way. So we got into small groups. And one group decided they wanted to test the power of heart-centered small group intention with the local animal shelter where one of them volunteered. And so she went to them and asked if they would like to have this, if they'd be willing to be in a study and let the group pray for increased adoptions for 1 month, doing it over a 1 month period. And they loved the idea, welcomed it. Yes, please, let's do it. And when the people at the shelter measured the change in adoptions, they shared that there was a decrease in animals being impounded, as well as a 40% increase in those being adopted. And this small group of students met daily throughout that month for intentional affirmative prayer. One of those classmates in that group was Reverend Deidre, by the way. You all remember, some of you remember Reverend Deidre. She used to be here. You know what? That's exciting news, isn't it? Really, because it makes a difference. So do not underestimate the power within you to positively affect change. But it wasn't just the receivers of the intention who were benefiting. As these groups gathered to do intention work for others in Lynn's study, they found that there were unintended benefits for them. She called it the rebound effect. And here we move to the harnessing the energies to heal your own life part of the title. Borrowed benefits, such as improved relationships, major life transformations, healing of body and mind, the rebound effect seemed to be in alignment with whatever the group was sending intention for. If the intention was for loving relationships, their own relationships became more loving. If the intention was for focusing on someone's healing, physical healing, then there would be mirrored healing as well. The people in the Afghanistan research reported more peace in their own life. In fact, sometimes the effects of the intenders on the intenders actually eclipsed the effects on the intendee. That's exciting news. But we don't do it for that reason, you see, or else we negate the whole thing. It's kind of funny how that works, because it's about kindness, it's about compassion, it's about a sense of connectedness when joining together and an altruistic goal. All of that combines to create what Lynn calls the X factor that causes this to happen. In fact, and she puts it this way, sending altruistic thoughts of healing in a group was a fast track to the miraculous. Fast track to the miraculous. But if we decide, well, I want to get me some of that, then it shuts the whole thing down. See? That's why if we give in order to get, it loses its transformational effect. It's not about what you get. It's about what you give and what you become as you give. See? Now, I've been thinking this through, and I have a theory as to why this works. Would you like to hear it? I was hoping. Otherwise, I got to skip the next slide. If you remember in the Emergence series back last fall, we talked about giving what appears to be missing. Giving what appears missing in your life. There is a phenomenon that occurs when you see what's missing in your own life and learn to give that to the world. See? Something miraculous happens. Give what you need to the world. And that's what this practice is about. And this is not a new message. We might have heard it in this way before. So in everything, do unto others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets, Matthew 7. Confucius says it this way, do not do to others what you would not like yourself. Buddhism, hurt not others in ways that you yourself would find hurtful. Hinduism, this is the sum of duty, do not unto others that you would not have them do unto you. Islam, no one is a believer until he desires for his brother that which he desires for himself. Judaism, what is hateful to you, do not do to your fellow man. This is the entire law. All the rest is commentary. Taoism, regard your neighbor's gain as your gain, your neighbor's loss as your own. And my favorite version from Wicca, do as you will and harm none. The point being that all faith traditions, we find the golden rule. And it's a message of giving to others what you would like to have happen for yourself. And I find it very intriguing that this is such a universal teaching. I mean, why is that? It's not so we'll be nice to one another. It's good to be nice to one another. Let's do that. But there's something much deeper to this teaching, much deeper. It's what you send out comes back. It does. This is the entire law. All else is commentary. And when we get out of our own self system with a small s, get that bloated nothingness out of the way of the divine circuits, as Emerson puts it, and with loving and open hearts, hold an intention for another's well-being, we are giving the world what we need, and we can't help but spill a little on our own shoes. Do you see it? It has to come through us. It has to come through us. So is kindness lacking in your life? Shower the world with kindness. How about compassion? Anybody want some more compassion in your life? Yep, we got some hands there. Find it inside of you and give it. health and wholeness, wholeheartedly set the intention for another's healing, but don't do it for that reason. It has to be unencumbered by your own attachments and desires. If you remember the story I told last time about a man with an inoperable brain tumor who had lots of prayer work done on his behalf, and while he experienced something going on in his body, the tumor stubbornly would not go away. In fact, it kept on growing until he joined a prayer team and became a man on a mission of praying for others' health. And then it began to shrink on its own. And that doesn't mean that we don't ask for prayer support and invite people to pray on our behalf. We have plenty of evidence documenting the power of prayer. But it does mean that getting out of our stuff with love, with compassion, and sending intention to bless another is a major key in our own healing. Do you see that?
Yes.
Do you feel it? And when we're engaged in that work, we become evolutionary activists. Part of the square root of the 1% kind of shifts the whole meaning of the 1%, doesn't it? There is nothing we can't do when we join together mind and heart. Give the world what you need. Send loving intention to all. Join with others of like mind to be the change that we want to see in the world. Of course, that's not all we do. We have to get up off the cushion too, right? The word activism implies it does. But we take that action with compassion and caring, seeing each other no matter where we stand politically, no matter what our beliefs on gun rights might be, no matter how far we may be apart in our viewpoints, seeing each other as fellow human beings on the path, not the other. And we stop enemy-fying. Do you see that that's how we need to begin? Say it like you mean it. I read the story of an engineering program at MIT where the students were trying to design and develop a new car. And they were divided into more than a dozen specialty teams, all focused on different parts of the project. But things kept getting messed up, see. They were all under a great deal of pressure to get this project completed on time. And one of the specialty groups, the one that was in charge of reducing noise and vibration, added some structural reinforcements to the car design. Unfortunately, that messed with the team in charge of overall car weight because it added too much extra poundage. So they took out something of an equivalent weight, which now added to the noise and vibration problem. And these two teams were at odds with each other, kept going back and forth until they finally sat down together and looked at the overall system. And when they saw that they had been operating as independent silos and not taking into account the consequences of what they were putting out there, they stopped and they said, here's the turning point. Look what we've been doing to ourselves. Now, do you feel the difference there? Because they moved from, they messed it up again, we have to go in there and fix it again, to we've been doing this. And that when we shift from they to we, something happens. Our awareness, along with our capacity to heal, grows in leaps and bounds. And part of our work as evolutionary activists is to bridge that divide. Are you up for it? So consider these questions this week. What is one unmet need you have in your life? Maybe it's compassion. Maybe it's understanding. Maybe it's being heard, listened to. Whatever it is, identify what it is in your life and how can you meet that need and give it to the world? How can you do that? Give what appears missing in your life. And is there a they in your life that you can change to a we? Maybe we all need to look at Russian bots and say, look what we've been doing to ourselves. So are you up for a little evolutionary activism?
Yes.
If you're in a spirit group, go for it. Keep going. I've been hearing wonderful stories of healings that are happening. And if you were not able to get in one this time around, there are other ways you can do this work. You need to know that your board is now holding Power of Eight intention work as part of our monthly meetings. Your chaplains are doing the Power of Eight as part of their meetings. You can also go to lynnmctaggart.com. Oops, no, you don't want to go there. lynnmctaggart.com and sign up to be part of the Intention of the Week. You can join that worldwide community and bring your heart to the table. Isn't that cool? You know, math was never my favorite subject, but I got to tell you, the square root of 1%, I can work with those numbers. Really? How about you? Let's do it. Yes. Woo.
So I guess if we have a they or an other or a them in our life, we're living in the story of separation. And when we shift that to we or us, we shift into interbeing or interconnection. All right, that's awesome. So unity stands for peace in the presence of conflict, for love in the presence of hatred, and for forgiveness in the presence of injury. Unity honors the many names for God, the many paths to God, the many ways of worshiping God. For we know that there is only one power and one presence that is God, and that God loves us all equally. So whoever you are and wherever you are on your transformational journey, if this is your first time with us and you feel comfortable enough to identify yourself by raising your hand, our ushers have a packet of information to bring to you. So go ahead and raise your hand tall and high and we'll get you connected. All right. So on the outside of your packet is a slip of paper. If you provide us with your e-contact information, we'll place you on our e-mailing list, and you'll get a weekly update and then a quarterly newsletter. If you ever find that too excessive, then you just unsubscribe. Take the packet over to the barista stand and get a slip of paper in the love offering basket. That's right. We're practicing for getting ready to live stream, so we're learning all of our secret signals. So where was I? Take the packet over to the barista stand, get a free free beverage. All right, Jim Sledge is not here, so you don't have to tell him that I gave the barista away again. And then you can go over to the bookstore and get a free CD. All right, that's it. We're going to greet each other now. We're going to have our fellowship song and welcome each other. do this? Or are you not going to do this?
No,
I don't have a microphone for you. That's okay. All right, please take your seats. Please take your seats. All right, so this is our offertory. And it's an opportunity for all of us to share of our abundance. And as I mentioned last week, for those of you who were here last Sunday, I talked about a whole new funding model for the Spiritual Center, where we're shifting away from asking you to give more, which is what happens when churches are dealing with they're not enough. We've decided, as the leadership of this church, we're not going to deal with our sense of not enough by projecting it onto the community. We're just going to know that when we are living in the story of our interconnection, and when we recognize what we value and what we see as essential and important to us, and when we acknowledge that all of us are in different places with respect to our means and our capacity to make a difference, but yet each of us can always do what we can. And when we know that when we all are in the intention to be in ownership, to want this to happen and to be sustainable, and that when we all just simply be in the question, what can I do in the context of from time to time when we hold up the mirror with respect to how we're doing, with respect to supporting this organization, we're going to say, well, this is how we're doing so far, and so our question is that how can we as a community own where we are in our journey towards sustainability without making us go to not enough? Because that's hard in these times. It's hard to be in the act of giving without sort of touching that place in us where there are times when we're dealing with our own sense of not enough. So we don't want anybody to give from a sense of obligation or not enough. We want only gifts that come from love and from wanting this to be something that everybody can experience. And so as you are guided to really be in the question, what can I do, then just simply give into that space. And that means that then we're constantly always focused on our sense that we always have more than enough when we all are showing up in ownership. So, so now as you take your love offering, or if you're in our automatic consistent giving program, you probably have one of these as a symbolic way to participate in this together. So however you're connected to your desire to be a part of what is making this ministry sustainable and able to fulfill its purpose, let us now affirm our offertory blessing. Together, please. I know that my giving blesses and multiplies all that I am and all that I have and all that I give and receive. I give thanks for the abundance that is mine to share.